I'm not going to keep you long today. I'm going back to Matthew chapter 1, where we've been for weeks. We're probably going to stay there all this year, the rest of this year. Becoming his people through the revelation of God. I've titled this because I want to, actually what I'm going to do is I'm going to reemphasize what I preached last week, because it needs to be said again. And I just remembered that in all of my doings, in all of my getting, get wisdom, which I did not get. Amen. So, I'm going to say again what I said last week and just add a little bit to it. How about that? Matthew chapter 18, excuse me, chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. I said last week that it was worded that way because his birth was like no other. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people. I underline that and bolded that. He will save who? His people from their sins. Now, and it was interesting to me as I'm reading this, that the emphasis the Holy Spirit put on me, in my mind, was his people. His people as opposed to, we're going to see all people in the next scripture, but at the same time, all people can become his people. Right? Okay? We're going to look at that. We're going to look at that, right? So, and we just read the scripture we're going to, I just read it, Luke chapter 2, before we started the service. So we'll read it again. We're making a distinction at the same time, bringing together his people. She shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save, Yeshua, Jesus means salvation. He will save his people from their sins. Last week, I reiterated that the angel did not say he will save his people from the Romans. The Jews wanted him to save them from the Romans. The Jews wanted him to save from the Assyrians and from all the people that attacked us. But Jesus did not come. Let me tell you today, Jesus didn't come today to save you from the drug cartels and from the people stealing and shooting and all the stuff that they're doing. Now, he may save you from that, but he didn't come to save you from that. What he came, he didn't save Job's children. All of Job's children said, Bayans, the fire god fell, killed the children, and Rob took all his stuff. He didn't come for that. Jesus came. Let's make this very clear and keep it number one. Jesus came to save his people from their sins. Their sins, our sins is the only thing that can send us to hell. Can't nobody send you to hell. People say go to hell. Can't nobody send you to hell. Right. The only thing that can send you to hell is my sin and your sin. That's the only thing that can send us to hell. Well, Jesus came to save his people from their sins. That's why we sing joy to the world, Lord the Savior. Oh, he's come. Well, let's read it. Luke chapter 2, we just read it. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to who? All people. Now what's the difference between his people and all people? Because there is a difference. There is a difference. I just want you to understand that. We know John chapter 1, the scripture says, the Gospel of John, that he came to his own and his own received him not, right? So his own people rejected him. So In one sense, his people were the Jews. He came, according to the flesh, he came to his own people, but some of his own people rejected him. So all of the Jews, those are not his people. Some of them are, but all of them aren't, right? We see here that the angel said this will be to all people. So all people includes the Gentiles. But when Jesus came, he didn't come to the Gentiles. Remember the Syrophoenician woman? When she said, my daughter is grievously vexed of a devil. Would you cast it? He says, I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm not sent to the dogs. He was talking about the Gentile woman. He didn't come to minister to her. Came to the Jews. But the text here says it would be great joy, which would be to all people. Well, let's deal with the all people and how we get from being all people to his people, right? Well, what does the Bible say about all people? As it is written, Romans 3, quoting the Old Testament, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. What do we know about all people? They've all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned. All have sinned. Well, so when we look back here and we see it comes to all people, we definitely see that the salvation of Jesus from their sins, saving people from their sins, it needs, Lord God, help all people, because all, according to the scriptures, have sinned. All have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. We looked at John chapter 8, 24, last week, where Jesus said, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. You will die. Now, how do we know that these people are not Jesus' people, not his people? Well, because he's saying the very opposite of what Jesus came to do, for he will save his people from their sins. Well, here Jesus is telling people, no, you're going to die in your sins if you don't believe that I'm he. You will die in your sins. See that? So he makes it very clear that not all Jews believe in Jesus and are delivered from their sin. Well, that means not all Jews are his people. Right? And so Jesus makes it very clear. Herein, we also see the method or the means by which we come from all people to become his people. In John 10, Jesus, the people said to him, hey, listen, if you're the Christ, tell us plainly. Don't talk to us in parables. Tell us. And Jesus said, Jesus asked them, I told you, and you do not believe. You do not believe the works that I do in my Father's name. What is Jesus talking about? Jesus did works that no one else ever did. Jesus did works that no one could do. In particular, Lazarus. Now, Elijah raised someone from the dead. Person died that day, raised him from the dead. Same with Elisha. Man died, they were burying him, because the Jews would bury you the same day they buried him. His bones touched Elijah. He jumped up, stood on his feet. Jesus raised Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days. Martha said, by this time he stinks, Lord. No one ever raised someone from the dead, been dead 4 days. Decay had begun to set in. Jesus raised him from the dead. And then above that, beyond that, he did what no one ever did. He said, no sign shall be given to this adulterous generation except for the sign of Jonah. That as Jonah spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, so the Son of Man will spend 3 nights and 3 days in the heart of the earth. And that's what he did. So he said, the works that my Father has given me to do, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe. Do you know how precious it is that you believe today? You know how precious it is every day you wake up and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? That's miracle of miracles. It's miracle of miracles that your faith is still intact. You still believe that God raised him from the dead, which indeed he did do. But you do not believe. And why don't they believe? Because you are not my sheep. It's very clear. Jesus makes it very clear. There's no mistaking it. This is basic, church. This is basic. People say, I'm a Christian. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again? No, I don't believe it. Well, you're not a Christian. You're not a Christian. Yeah, but I am. No, you're not. You're not. Look, read the scripture. You need to get your head in the book. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, Jesus said. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Okay? So how do all people become his people? Bar none. The way you move from all people to his people is you have to believe. Simple. Just have to believe. At one point, the Jews asked Jesus in John chapter 6, say, what work shall we do to work the works of God? Jesus said, this is the work that God would have you do. Believe on him whom God has sent. So simply believe. So is that it? Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Jews didn't want that. The stumbling stone to them. They didn't want that. So Jesus makes it very clear. And now we understand why in John 3:16, Jesus said to Nicodemus that God sent his only begotten son that whosoever believes. Now that whosoever, that's the all. Whosoever, it doesn't matter who it is. That's why it's great joy to all people. Anybody can believe. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. This is why we celebrate Christmas, church. Christmas is not about giving gifts. That don't mean you go throw all your gifts away, but it just, that means that let's keep first things first. Jesus didn't come so we could celebrate giving gifts. Although he did give the greatest gift, which was himself. Right? All right. So, God help us to keep the main thing, the main thing. Because we can get it twisted. And the devil would love to have it so, talking about some man in a red suit running, dropping down chimneys and fairy tales and foolishness. Why is all of that? So you can forget about the Jesus the Christ who came to deliver you from your sins. That's why. Now, what did we look at? We also looked at last week of how believing affects the believer, what it does for the believer. We looked at Romans chapter 4. Now, in verse 22, right above this, he had quoted Genesis 6:15, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. That's mentioned all the way back in the book of Genesis. But not only wasn't written just for Abraham's sake, Paul tells us, that it was imputed unto him, but for us also it shall be imputed to us who believe. Oh, glory to God, hallelujah. When you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what happened? Righteousness was imputed unto you. Hallelujah. Righteousness. That's why I'm righteous in the presence of God right now. That's why when I cry out, he hears my prayer. He didn't hear my prayer because I'm a good little boy, because I'm not. There's none good, no, not one. No, he hears my prayer because I've been declared righteous in his sight because I'm clothed with his son, Christ Jesus. It shall be imputed to us if we who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. So this is what happens to the believer. This is why it's so important that we believe. And this is why we need to teach on this and make it a focal point of what God has done, accomplished for us through Christ. When we believe on his son, righteousness is imputed unto us. Paul says again in Romans chapter 3, now the righteousness of God apart from the law, apart from the works of the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. What righteousness? Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. To all and on all, the righteousness of God comes to and rests upon all those who believe. Now I'm gone. I got to go shouting. Oh, my glory to God. When I wake up in the morning and I think about this scripture, I say, oh, Lord, how good you are. Father, I thank you for your righteousness. I thank you for putting me in your Son. I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. For God made him who knew no sin to be sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5. So he says that this, the righteousness of God, comes upon those who believe, to all and on all. For there is no difference. There's no difference of what? Jew or Gentile. All are unrighteous, but the righteousness of God comes upon all who believe. You remember, was in John chapter, I think it's Gospel of John chapter 2. Andrew, Jesus, here's John the Baptist was looking at Jesus, and he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Andrew looked at him, and he called Nathanael. He said, Nathanael, hey, we found the Messiah. You need to come. And while Nathanael was coming to Jesus, Jesus looked at him and said, behold an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. And Nathanael said, looked at him and said, Rabbi, how do you know me? He said, oh, I saw you when you was, before you came to me. I saw you when you were standing under a fig tree. Nathanael said, you saw me when I was standing under a fig tree? I wasn't even here. How you see me? He said, you know me. He said, behold, you are the Lord. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus said to him, he said, do you believe? Do you believe simply because I told you I saw you sitting on the fig tree? He said, you shall see greater things than this. You shall see the Son of Man, angels descending and ascending upon the Son of Man. Talking about Genesis 28, Jacob's ladder. Nathanael was a believer. He believed on the Lord Jesus. Right? Now, let's shore it up in Acts so that we can see this. Acts 13, 48. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, heard what? That Jesus Christ died to save sinners, of which they could be saved. They were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. All those who are appointed to eternal life are his people. All of those who were appointed to eternal life believed. All his people believe. That's how all people can become his people. That's how they make the transition. So this is basic. I'm just teaching basic, but it's the most exciting. It's the most, if you tell me, if you stand up and say, well, if you give to God, God will give you money. That's not exciting to me. I'm sorry, that's not exciting to me. I know some rich sinners, and they jacked up. They got all the money they can, they got more money they can count, and they're miserable. I don't want money. I want something eternal. I want what Jesus said he came to give. Eternal life. It's way better. It's way better. Well, so we've gone from the revelation that God had given to Joseph, Mary, and others about Jesus. We've gone from he came to save his people from their sins. But not only that, he came to bring great joy to all people. And we looked at how all people can become his people. How? Through believing. Through believing. Well, how does a person come to believe? Well, let's look at this. Romans 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So one day you heard about Christ, whether you were a child in the church or wherever you were, and your heart believed at a certain point in time, your heart was persuaded, I believe Jesus, I believe he rose from the dead. And when you believe that, you were declared righteous by God in his sight. you move from all people to his people. And all his people believe and are declared righteous. Now, in order for this to happen, we see that this happened. Paul takes us through it in Romans. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? In order to believe something, you have to hear it. Hello? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Now we know why Jesus told his disciples in Mark chapter 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Right? Matthew chapter 28, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore into all the world, make disciples of all the nations, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them all things I commanded you. The gospel, Romans chapter 1 and 16, the Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. When we preach the gospel and people hear, there's power for them to believe. And when they believe, they become righteous. They become God's children, his very own. So what ought we to be doing at Christmas time? Should we be giving gifts? Well, you can give gifts, but what we ought to be doing is giving the truth of the gospel. Hello? What we ought to be doing is saying, hey, Jesus died for your sins. What's going to happen when you die? Are your sins forgiven? What sins? My sins? Yeah, your sins. No one's going to act like they don't have any sin now. Yeah. Everybody be like, what? My sins? Yeah, your sins. Yeah, because we all got them. We all know that's the truth. What we ought to be doing is here, telling the gospel of peace, the gospel of good news, the glad tidings of good things. That's what we ought to be doing at Christmas. Well, Paul said this, for Christ did not come to send me to baptize, but to preach. How important was preaching? How important was it for people to hear the gospel? Christ sent Paul not to baptize, but to preach. Remember here it says, how shall they believe unless they heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? Well, Paul says here, Christ sent me. Christ sent me. There are people in your life I can't get to. Who he sending? Well, he ain't sending me to them. Who he sending? He sent you. Yeah, he sent you. So, preach. You say, well, I don't know how to preach. Well, it's not that hard. It's just, you know, telling a person. Jesus Christ died for your sins. That's it. Jesus Christ died for you. If you believe on it, you'll be born again. Period. That's it. Preaching is so important. Paul said, but we preach Christ crucified. Some people preach Christ. He's a millionaire maker. Some preachers, Christ, he'll heal you of every disease. No, he won't. Look at people. I'm sorry, that's not true. He'll heal you of every, no. You can say that, but no. But I tell you what, he will save every person who believes on him. Every last one who believes that he is Lord shall be saved. You can say that. That'd be 100% right. Paul said, but we preach Christ crucified. I just had that there, yeah. To the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. In Acts chapter 11, we see the account of where some of those who were preaching, they were going about, they were preaching the word only to the Jews. After Stephen had been martyred, the Christians scattered because they didn't want to be killed, right? But some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. Who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. The fruit of preaching is people believing. The fruit of preaching is people believing. If we preach the gospel, people are going to be saved. Why? Because the Lord calls people through the preaching of the gospel. That's how he calls them. Second Corinthians 4:5, for we do not preach ourselves, God help us if we preach it ourselves. God help the people if we preach it. We do not preach ourselves, a lot of ministers do. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves bondservants for Jesus' sake. Why do we preach Jesus? So that people might believe and be saved from their sins. That's why. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, when we get to glory and we're in his presence, do you know that his riches are unsearchable? Which means you will never know them all. It's like a river where the water keeps passing over you, and the same water never passes you twice. It just keeps going. He said, does this thing ever end? No, it never ends. That's his unsearchable riches. You cannot plumb the depth. His greatness, Psalm 147 says, his greatness is unsearchable. You can't know it. Oh, we serve an awesome God. I'm telling you right now, we serve a mighty God. There is nobody like him. Oh, oh my goodness. He's worthy of all the praise. And he's going to get all the glory for all eternity. Amen. And we get to know him because he deemed our lives worth his precious life. Whew. Last scripture. Colossians 1:28. Him we preach. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Him we preach. We need to get back to this, saints. We need to preach Christ Jesus and him crucified so that people might be saved from their sin. Joseph, Mary, Elizabeth, the shepherd, Simeon, Anna, Zachariah. I said this last week. I didn't include Zachariah, but I put him here. He did believe about Christ eventually. He didn't believe concerning his own son, which he was, you know, Gabriel pronounced judgment on him. But he did eventually believe about Christ. He even prophesied about it. They all believed concerning Jesus Christ. They all told others. Let us do the same. That's all I'm saying. Amen? Let's stand. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the truth of Scripture. Thank you for the love of God. Thank you for the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, during this Christmas season, this holiday season, Lord, that it would be so in the forefront of our minds to keep the first things first. Just keep it simple concerning the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he came to save us from our sins. And, oh, God, we pray that many would be saved, that we would be reminded and rejoice in the forgiveness of sins. And in that rejoicing, Lord, spread it and tell others about the goodness of God who has forgiven us of all of our sin. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said amen. Amen. Amen.